Our second scripture reading this morning continues where we left off in John chapter 20, picking up in verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he has said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we arrive here at Easter morning with reverent and believing hearts, we pray that you would open our hearts just as you opened the tomb, that you would work the miraculous in us in order that we might fully understand what happened that Easter morning, that you would communicate to us this morning just how much you love us, that your grace is more than enough, that your mercy is more than enough, that your love is steadfast and unending. We pray this morning that you would set us free. The work has already been done, and we are so thankful for it. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. Throughout the Lenten season, we have been going through a sermon series called Reflect and Reset. Today we are transitioning to Rejoice and rest. As we've gone through our Lenten series, we touched on a number of topics, and I asked you to reflect on those topics and then to reset as necessary, to make yourself in alignment with what Scripture says or what Jesus is calling for you to do in your life or what God has designed for you. So on Ash Wednesday, we talked about our spirit. Each one of these topics, I asked three questions. Three questions to begin to think about as you reflected on these topics and then to reset. And as we thought about our spirits, I asked the questions, how are you tending your soul? How are you and God connecting? How would you describe the way that your spirit feels? And we talked about how this Lenten process begins there, inside of us, our very souls that God is seeking to move and work in. From there, we moved into talking about our bodies. And I asked the question, does your faith inspire you to action? Does it make your body move for the Lord? How are your habits and your actions glorifying God? And are there habits that need to change? Are there things that you are currently doing that you know that you should not be doing? From there, we went into talking about the mind. And I asked the question, what is the focus of your life? What is it that consumes your thoughts? Where do your thoughts most naturally go? And do you need to change what's influencing them? From there, we talked about relationships. I asked you to think about all of the people. Who are you in relationship with? Are you in right relationship with God? And do your prayers reflect being in those relationships and in that relationship with God? And we talked about home. I asked, how can you tell that a home is a Christian home? Can you tell from the inside? How long does it take once you're inside of a home to know that it's a Christian home? I asked you, how has God moved and worked in your life? When has He shown up? And then how is your time spent in your home? Then we talked about work. And I asked, do you view work as a blessing? Do you work for the glory of God? And do you work for an eternal reward? From there, we moved on to resources. And I asked the question, what are you willing to lay down in submission to the king? Is your pursuit of resources preventing others from worshiping the king, or is your pursuit of resources leading others towards the king? And is your life producing fruit or resources for the kingdom? Then this week on Monday, Thursday, we talked about love. Said, are you willing to love others like Jesus loves you? How are you loving them from a servant heart? And are you telling other people about the love that Jesus has for them? It's been quite a journey through this Lenten season. Imagine if you would have honestly answered each and every one of those questions throughout the Lenten season, and then began to apply what you knew to be the truth to those questions to your life. Imagine the dramatic change that you would have experienced if you were able to suddenly transition from where you are to being in really in having the right answers for each and every one of those questions. I personally don't know anyone who's arrived at that point yet. We don't daily always have a perfect walk with Jesus. We're works in progress. But that's what Easter is all about. Easter is all about us being works in progress. But as we progress towards that goal, and we seek to answer those questions, it takes a lot of work. Many of us might have arrived this morning tired. Easter, the first Easter, was the greatest moment in all of creation. The greatest moment of all in all creation. And that's what we're celebrating today. We've gathered here. We've gathered really with millions of Christians all across the globe this morning to recognize that we have a risen Savior. Hallelujah. As we arrive at this Easter, with reverent and believing hearts. Like me, are you tired? As you arrive at this Easter morning, is it all that you hoped that it would be? Did you wake up this Easter morning suddenly feeling completely different about the world in your life? Are all of your troubles and worries suddenly gone? Are you left wondering if somehow maybe you've missed something? In all of your preparations for egg hunts, did you forget to find Jesus? In your preparations for the meal, did you forget to prepare your heart? As you hurried to clean your house before guests arrive, did you take time to cleanse the sin from your life? Jesus' disciples, his followers, those who traveled with him for years, traveled around the region with Jesus. They spent life with him. They got to know him very well, and he knew them. They had a firsthand account. They saw him perform miracles. They listened to his teaching. They saw every moment of his life because they lived it with him. They knew it so well. And they saw the miraculous, and then they witnessed the horrors of the crucifixion. And then seemingly, suddenly, everything must have seemed to come to this dramatic halt. The man, the Messiah, whom they thought that they had been following for all of these years, who they'd seen do all of these miraculous things, they saw him die. His body placed in a tomb. Imagine their confusion, their sadness. But even in this, even in the midst of their confusion and their sadness, many remained devoted to Jesus. Mary Magdalene was one of them. Mary Magdalene remained devoted to Jesus. If you think back to her story, you think back to Mary Magdalene's story, how Jesus had stepped into her life, a life of sin and shame. She lacked value in her society. And Jesus stepped in and he transformed everything for her. He gave her value, quite possibly for the very first time in her life. And he invited her to join in life with him, to travel with him, to be his friend. And now the first person, the only person, to treat her like she was worth something, is now suddenly gone. But in her devotion, she decides to gather some of the other women and to pay really her last respects, her last act of devotion to this man who had done so much for her. And so they gathered spices and oils to go and anoint the body. The burial had been hasty. There hadn't been time to do it right. And so she gathered these women. They knew that it was going to be dangerous, that it was going to be risky, that they were going to have to face Roman guards. The disciples, all of these men who had been following Jesus, they're hiding because they're afraid. They're afraid that their fate is going to be the same as Jesus. And yet this small group of women decide in their devotion that they want to communicate one last time just how much Jesus meant for them. And so they're willing to make this journey. Mary Magdalene is the very first to arrive at the tomb.
But I imagine, what must she have been thinking on her way there? What must she have been thinking as she reflected on her time spent with Jesus, what he had meant to her, what he had done for her, his teaching, what she had seen him do for other people? And then imagine her surprise as she arrived at the tomb. As they reported the empty tomb to disciples, as the disciples raced to the tomb, what were the thoughts that were racing through their minds? As Mary stood there weeping, and Jesus calls her by name. And it's by that she recognizes him. Imagine the many times before this that she must have heard Jesus say her name. How personally he would have known her. Imagine the thoughts that are racing through her mind and the disciples' mind. But I wonder, for Mary and the other disciples, if they had many of the same questions that we have this morning. If they arrived at that first Easter morning feeling how some of us feel this morning. Like life is a little bit too busy, we're hurried. It's lucky that we got here this morning with a matching pair of socks and whatever, and we are tired. And we're wondering if we're really doing things the right way. Because somehow, if we really think about it, does Easter feel any different than any other day? There's a special meal. We get a little bit more dressed up. There's more people in church this morning. But as we think about our lives, is there any difference? Are we too like Mary and those other disciples? Are we clinging to something, hoping for the miraculous? And as I've pondered these questions throughout the Lenten season, and I've asked myself how I feel about this Easter, this is my response. In Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my rest. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on, rejoice. I've been beat down and broken. I've had dark clouds hanging low. I've seen pain and death. I've been all alone. In Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my rest. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on, rejoice. I have seen the world around me crumble. I've gotten my fair share of scars and bruises. I've worked long and hard days. I've lost some in the sea of darkness and depression. In Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my rest. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on, rejoice. I've had days without a dollar or a hope. I've swung my fists in anger. I've tasted things I shouldn't have. I've prayed to gods without names. But in Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my rest. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on. Rejoice. I've beaten others down in word and action. I've lusted for power and fame. I've felt worthless. I've had many worldly crutches, but in Jesus I find my strength. In Jesus I find my rest. In Jesus I find my joy. In Jesus I find my will to continue on. Rejoice. My sins are beyond measure. My shame has haunted me. The devil knows me well, but Jesus knows me better. In Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my rest. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on. Rejoice. Jesus died for me. My sins written across his body. Oh, how he loves me so. Oh, how he lifts my soul. In Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my rest. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on. Rejoice. His arms wide open. His grace abounding, his steadfast love unending. He rescues me from destruction. In Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my rest. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on. Rejoice. He restores my soul. He loves me so. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he makes me whole. In Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on. Rejoice. He's blessed me beyond measure. In his house, I found a home. With his children, I have found a family. In his presence, I have found healing. In Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my rest. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on. Rejoice. His words, how they comfort. His promises, how they ring true. His foundation, how firm. His peace, how assuring. In Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my rest. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on. Rejoice. I don't know the hymn of your heart. I don't know the song of your soul. I don't know the anthem of your aching. I don't know the rhythm of your relationship. But I pray that your chorus is the same. In Jesus, I find my strength. In Jesus, I find my rest. In Jesus, I find my joy. In Jesus, I find my will to continue on. Rejoice. Friends, I hope you know this morning how much Jesus loves you. I hope that you have an understanding of what all Easter means. It means that in Jesus we can find our strength. As the world time and time again makes you tired, as you feel beat down and broken, as you feel like you're living in a world of anger and division, and that there isn't anything left to help you move forward, in Jesus, find your strength. In Jesus, we find our rest. All of this baggage that we're carrying, all of this sin and shame, whatever it might be in your life, Jesus says, lay it down. Put it down in front of my cross. I am willing to wear your sins across my back. Do you not understand that I have already paid for this? lay them down and rest in me. In Jesus, we find our joy. We find our purpose, our motive, our reason for life. He fills our life with joys. Whether it is people or sunsets, Jesus fills our lives with joys. In Jesus, we find our will to continue on. There are days when is it worth it? There are days when do I have the strength to keep going? Do I care? And in Jesus, we find our will to continue on, to do more. And because of all of this, friends, we should rejoice. Since the very beginning, humanity's relationship with God has been strained. And it's not through God's distance from us, but from our distance from Him. God is unmoving and unchanging. His love for us is steadfast, and it is because of His steadfast love for us that before the foundation of the earth was laid, He set a plan to be in right relationship with us. He didn't cause the division, and yet He created the solution. Philippians 2 says this: Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whatever baggage or pain or sickness or sorrow that you are carrying this morning, bring it and lay it before the cross. The sins that you carry are already written across His back. He has already paid for them. Give them to Him. Set yourself. Allow Him to set you free. He loves you, and He desperately wants a relationship with you. Nothing can stop God's love for you, not even you. Nothing can stop God's love for you. And friends, this morning, our only response is to rejoice. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Amen.